Okay, I gotta tell you this super cool story.
Oh my god.
So, follow me here.
I'm ready.
Now, I have mentioned, I think, that where I live is right on the lake.
Oh, I thought this was gonna be about the witch's store, and I was like, yay!
Sorry, no.
All right. No, it's but fine.
Sorry, no.
It's okay.
So, live right on the lake, and there's this really cool beach shack that I think I have showed you or told you about.
Yeah.
And the owner is apparently an independent filmmaker.
What?
And so, that's not his full-time job, but he was screening one of his films. It is called No More Things, and his name is Tobias Bechtloff. It was shown at the Beloit International Film Festival, because, you know, it's not, like, super-duper known, but this was back in, like, 2018, something like that.
Wow.
So, we go. And it's so cool because he sets it up outside the beach shack, and you're looking at the beach and you're just sitting out. And it was just so fun. And then he explained his whole premise of it. So there is a scene in the movie where it's all around this kind of middle of nowhere area in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And this specific area is called Middlegate. And
okay.
Why I'm telling you it is because there was a scene where in Middlegate, they kept interviewing this kind of like bar restaurant owner that also had a inn.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'd always see people come by, and they were talking about all the people that came to visit. And at one point, Stephen King came to visit their place.
Oh,
and
my God!
I was like, excuse me, I'm in the middle of it. When he was writing his novel, Desperation. Have you ever read that one?
Nope.
So they said that he, like, had this weird white van. He wouldn't take a room.
Oh.
He would come into the restaurant. He'd have one beer and this huge burger. And he was just writing crazy on this yellow notepad. And they said he had these, like, big, thick glasses and these beady eyes.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, so what are you doing around here? And the guy was like,
are you killing people in the van?
Well, they were nervous. And he was like, oh, I'm a writer. And they're like, oh, you're a writer. And no one knew who it was. And then he did that for like a couple days. And a lot of what he wrote about in that book is about that area. And then they said that when he drove away, they got a call from like somebody else in the next town over that said, hey, you'd never guess who showed up. Here's Stephen King. And then they're like,
God.
Oh shit, I guess that was a writer and he wasn't lying. So in the flesh, I think Stephen King looks like he's on super duper drugs and is like a big old weirdo. And that's how he makes these movies. Can you believe that connection?
That's crazy. Wow. Did you tell Tobias, like, hey, Tobias, here's my business card for my podcast. That's not as much of a business as you think. Anyway, give a listen.
I don't know. I don't know if he'd understand, like, my humor yet because I show up with, like, my dog and offer coffee and we're not at the relationship level that I'm like, listen to my silly podcast.
All right.
I need to. I need to.
We'll give it a couple months and then we'll see.
Yeah.
Sisters who've seen it. We are the sisters who've seen it. Sisters, shooby-dooby-doo-wop. Sisters, shooby-dooby-doo-wop. Sisters. Sisters who've seen it.
Hiya, Georgie.
Hi there.
Is that your Georgie voice?
Yes,
that's cute. That was cute. I like it. I like it. I couldn't keep going.
Oh my God. I hope people listening stopped whatever they were doing. They were like,
we have a Twitter, if you guys didn't know. And we actually had a bunch of people this week making comments on a tweet related to the It Part 1. And people were basically like, wow, Pennywise is really scary. I'm afraid of clowns. And, you know, I then was like, well, I showed all my middle school friends that. So I didn't help the pandemic of clown fear.
You're like, I contributed and I have a really awesome impression.
Oh, well, listeners, let me introduce ourselves because I am actually not Pennywise. I know it's like, it sounds like him, but like it's not. So we are the Sisters Who've Seen It, the podcast where two sisters who are not movie critics look back on some of our favorites throughout the years through a psychological, ethical, and familial lens. I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And excuse me, sir, is your refrigerator running? It is. Well, then you better go catch it. He gets funny in this one. He's a little more.
A lot more dialogue.
Yeah, he gets a lot more line. They were probably like, wow, Tim, we should like pay you more because you're great.
Okay, like part two, where do we start, Kate? We start right after Stan
with the scrunchy face.
Yes. Has completed suicide and his wife, scrunchy face, which if you follow our Instagram, I posted that because it was really funny to me.
It was very funny.
But I feel like this second half, there's no reason for a synopsis since we did that in last episode, but we talked about it's more adult.
Yeah.
But, you know, you do get like the flashbacks to the kid stuff.
There are, yeah.
But the first half is good. The first half really revs you up. The kicker to me that was the ending, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah, but I feel like what we did last time is we went person by person, and now that we know more about these people, I almost feel like we should just go in order.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Okay, because I think that it somewhat starts, I'm skipping over one part, with what I think was the Bob scene.
Bob scene, I was waiting for the Bob scene. You referenced that in the last episode. You were like, there's a Bob scene right away. Yes. And I'm like, ooh.
And I wanted to give a mini synopsis to the Bob scene.
Okay.
So this is a story about two best friends that grow up.
I knew this is what this is going to be.
Their name is Mike and Bill. And 30 years later, they realize they're in love. And it's about Mike and Bill, love, and their bike, Hi-Ho Silver. And they ride off into the sunset, falling in love. Thank God.
Oh,
my God. Pennywise the Clown brought them together as the matchmaker. My God, Kate, I can't. This scene, I can't.
I freaking knew that's exactly what it was going to be. When you referenced that, I was like, I bet it's that stupid-ass bike scene where it's so weird. And you're like, wait, you guys like didn't even ever have a conversation in the first part. And now we're supposed to like, believe that we're best buddies forever. And like, what's happening? Oh, no.
I mean, literally, Mike showed up and he was like, Bill, look what I got. And he's like, my bike?
Your bike. Just
somebody tried to trash it years ago, but I knew that one day our love would be strong enough that I'd get you back here and I fixed your bike. And now let's ride together on it as old men up and down seesaws.
Very close together with their bodies. Yeah.
Yes. And even Mike starts off and he goes, I know I look old, don't I? And
oh my God.
Like, no, you don't.
The old insecure people. I don't have time for this. Ben's calling himself fat to every person he meets. Now Mike's referencing how he thinks he looks old. I can't. I cannot.
But I took it as like, hey, lover, you think I look old?
Well, honestly, Bill, like, kind of seems to get around because, you know, there was a later Bob scene, let's be honest. We all know it, but we'll get to that later. So I am also surprised he did not make out with Mike because he seemed really willing to make out all the time.
The 2021 version, they're making out because there's some love there.
We kind of had that version and they didn't make out, but they do go on a drug trip together. So that's cool. Yeah, that's there were more like drug trips in the book, which is kind of funny.
Drug trips as adults?
Well, they do one when they're an adult, and then in the book when they're all kids, they kind of do one because they basically like give themselves smoke inhalation, which somehow like causes them to do something giant turtle cosmic being something.
Like the turtle from Neverending Story.
They see Falcor and Bastion terrorizing children in a town on their drug trip. Honestly, that would make more sense, I think. So,
Well, I did skip over the one scene that I thought was kind of cool is like as each adult enters the town, right? They got the call the first half. We knew they're coming into Derry and they all like get the warning from Pennywise. And Bill's warning was,
yo,
in the graveyard where Pennywise is just digging graves and kind of gives the heads up about Stan.
Yeah, some foreshadowing. There is. Yeah, that's spoopy. And Bill, you know, he's like, you're not real. Get out of here. And then Pennywise is like, okay, bye. And you're like, what?
Well, I kind of was like, oh, is that because you're an adult? Like, you can do that? Like,
Well, that's it? So, I mean, I feel like they kind of show this in this part, and they kind of, like, try to reference it, is, like, because when they were kids, the reason they were able to, like, defeat him was because they all stuck together, and they were, like, you can't hurt us type thing. Like, they kind of were, like, we're not afraid of you, because it's all, like, fear-based. So, like, if you're afraid of him, you're more vulnerable. So that's why Bill is, like, I'm not afraid of you, it's not real, whatever. And, like, Pennywise knows that they're, like, back in the town, and he's, like, oh, snap, we got the non-believers! Better give them pamphlets at their front door to praise the Lord of Pennywise. No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't do that. But he himself is, like, afraid, and that's why later in the movie he tries to recruit Henry, because he's like, oh, you're, like, a human who can actually, like, do damage, and I can't if they're not afraid of me type deal. It's kind of explained.
Yes. And, of course, Mike, with open arms, welcomes Bill and their love affair. Even after Bill made fun of, like, his house, he was like, oh, this is the poor area, right? And Mike's like, so here's my house.
Yeah, Mike's like, let's turn 2 degrees clockwise this way, and there's where I live. So thank you so much. Also, it looks like a cute house, Mike. So, like, don't be embarrassed, okay? You have a nice porch. Back up.
So my rude. God.
Yeah, and then it's just the sentimental music for bikes. Is what I wrote.
So ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't even. And honestly, there's even, like, more bobbiness in this whole part, because then, like, you're like, okay, I guess it was, like, flashback bike time. Like, we gotta reintroduce this bike because it comes up later, but, like, I didn't know we cared so much about the bike, but now we do. And then after they're done, like, riding around, I suppose, Mike is like, look what I got. It's like the pack of cards. And Bill's like, bicycle cards. Oh my God, what a great day. Everyone knows that we loved this. And you're like, I missed that scene in part one. I don't know.
Again, it was like The Notebook. Like, literally, it transitioned into, like, the most beautiful love story of all time.
That actually checks out even a little bit more, because there's, like, whole, like, memory loss happening, and then there's memory loss in The Notebook. Oh my God. I think we're on to something. There needs to be a crossover. There's a lot of crossovers we're proposing, but, like, this would be a good one. But the whole where Bill's like, oh, let me take out a card. Like, just one. And then he, like, literally spills all the cards like a ding-a-ling. And I was like, we did not do the drug trip. Don't forget. That's not happening here. So I'm not really sure what the excuse is for the Butterfingers, but
it was very bad too. It was like, whoa.
Yeah. it was just some lot of weirdness, but thankfully we leave that Jesus Christmas and we go to Richie. And Richie is me, because
beep, beep, Richie.
The first thing he does is first he's happily singing in a car, and I'm like, same. But he drives past a movie theater that is, like, going out of business, and he, like, literally goes on an angry monologue, and I was like, this is me all day. Save the movie theater.
What was the character from Scream we said you were like?
Randy. They're also both redheads, so I'm not really sure what's happening with that, because I am not a redhead, but oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and this is exactly you. The theater is closed down, and then he loses it.
Yeah, but that's when he sees his first hallucination, where it's like, Richie Tozier is now dead or gonna die, and then he's like, ah, and then he aggressively speeds to the library, which, again, like, sometimes is me. What can I say? Except I don't run in a tizzy, and when he's in there, this is where Pennywise really shines, and I think he should get his own Netflix comedy special. What can I say?
God, that would be awesome.
He can keep the blood balloons in. I think the audience would like it, honestly.
Oh my God, can you imagine if, like, blood balloons just, like, splattered? It would be like, who's the guy that used to hit the watermelon?
I was just thinking about that. Him? I don't know the name, but that's who I thought of too.
This would be the most awesome comedy special. Like, it'd be scary comedy. Yes. Oh God. But that was a pretty creepy scene in the library, where you're not a kid anymore, where you're thinking, okay, the adults can't see what's happening.
Yeah.
He's an adult, and all the other adults are getting blood all over them, and they don't know what's happening. And I can imagine 30 years later that being very, very scary.
Yeah.
I was, like, freaked out for him. I thought, oh boy, Richie, he's turning it on for you.
Yeah, he really got a lot. And he even kind of, like, cock blocks him, because he's, like, checking out the librarian lady. and then he's like, a little young for you, isn't she, Richie? And then Richie's like, damn it, my boner is gone. Oh no.
Well, and then he bolts it out of the library, and he's, from then on out, he was just like, I'm ready to go back to my happy celebrity SNL world.
Yeah.
Of whatever dumb movie I'm doing after this. And we quickly get to Ben, right?
Ben. With his Ooh. 90s cell phone, in quotation marks, Ooh. Which is, you know, the size of a brick. I'm not even sure. I think yes. that's actually too small. Like, it was bigger than that. I don't even know how else to compare it to.
And I don't understand how his logic is, let's go back into town. And you know what, taxi driver? Just stop right here. Let me go down to the scariest, most traumatic place ever just to get a look-see around. And then, yeah. of course, he has, like, a crazy flashback. And it was scary.
He has a crazy flashback, but then he has a not crazy flashback and just a crazy, something's happening because he literally sees some kid being chased by bullies. And it's like the same thing that happened to him, but it's like right in front of him. And they basically like throw the kid down a hill and then they kick the kid and then they walk away. And Ben is a bystander and he says nothing to the children. And that is the wrong way to react to bullying, everyone. You need to be an upstander. And stand up.
Ooh, yes.
So way to not learn anything from your trauma, Ben, because like, what the heck?
Well, but then he initiates the kid into his cool gang with his black bandana he just happens to have and wraps around his leg.
I literally wrote for that part, I go, oh Jesus, please don't rub like wet handkerchiefs from like the sewer swamp water onto open wounds. This is not gonna end well. This kid's gonna lose his leg.
Well, my and then God. The kid was like freaked out. He was like, I think I'm fine. Yeah. I'm out of here. I was like, good job, kid.
You're scarier than that clown I saw the other day. Jesus.
Yeah. So, and then as he's staring off into the distance, I mean, was this a homeless person? We don't really know, but he basically like grabs him on the shoulder and asks for money. And he was like, scared the crap out of Ben. And yeah. then he was like, jeez, what's your problem? This is the weirdest like, woods ever.
I think that was real, which is like, I mean, I feel like there's better places to be a hobo than the woods, but what do I know? I don't know.
I don't know. I just know I'm not ever going back to the place that traumatized me as a kid.
And also,
ever.
If you're the taxi driver, wouldn't you be like, hey, where are you going? And no, Telly don't care. She's like, whatever. Enjoy.
Give out
all your handkerchiefs, please.
She was so nonchalant. She was like, you remember in the good old days?
Jesus. Yeah. And then he does see Pennywise when they continue driving, which is really fun because he's like, you know, just chilling on the side of the road.
They must have watched the footage from the beginning and been like, Tim Curry is so good. We need to get him in more stuff because they revved him up in the second half.
He's in like every other scene pretty much, which is great.
It's great, but it is a little more suspenseful, which helps because I do think like the kids' stories were a little better and there was less of them.
Right.
We talked about this a little bit in the last episode, but then we learn about Eddie and how his inhaler is just water.
It's just water, Eddie. I love how the freaking doctor, he's like, hey, how old are you? And Eddie's like, 11. And then he's like, old enough. Come in this back room. I was like, horrible, terrible setup. Eddie,
Mr. Keen.
Don't go alone in back rooms with adults, I'm afraid. But he does try to tell him, and he's using high-level vocabulary words that I don't think Eddie understands. And he's like, do you know what a placebo is, Eddie? And then Eddie's like, I'm already confused, I need to leave. And then he just goes into denial mode. He's living in denial city, if you will.
But I thought it was sweet that he tried to, like, right some wrongs and was like, hey, you tried to tell me when I was a kid. And, you know, it was really nice of you. I didn't really get it. And then somehow Pennywise possessed this dude. And I was like,
Yeah, and then he gives him a spider arm and nobody notices. And I'm afraid.
Terrifying.
I'm afraid. Also, you're going to like this town that you didn't think you were going to be in literally a couple hours ago. And you bring your prescription.
I don't. Yep. That's
Sir,
not how that happens.
Get that at Rite Aid and like have it automatic. Come on now.
Also, you're coming to your like childhood trauma. Stock up. Have a couple in hair.
Right. Like,
my God.
Even if they're placebos, you know, just like. like kind of whatever.
Just have them ready, in there. You know?
Yeah.
Which actually brings up a good point. Why is he still using them if they're
well, but I like how they do that because he does admit at one point, he's like, I know it's like not real, but it like, I just have to take it. Like, it's like almost a compulsion. And then they have a conversation where they're like, if you believe in it, then that's great. And you're kind of like, oh, so that's like a half-assed way of us being like, if we believe we can win, we'll win, but also like unhealthy, but you know, science. Behaviors and science, right? Like, there's just, you know, there's a lot of things happening.
Eddie had a rough go of it, I gotta say.
Yo, Eddie got screwed in this movie.
I really was pro Eddie in the first half, and I was like embarrassed for him at the end. I was like, oh, Eddie, this isn't how it has to end, but it does, Eddie.
He goes out really lame, and then they give him like some really lame, awkward lines, and
we'll get there, because then we get to Bev, and you had said to me that you thought her Pennywise experience was the scariest, and I was like, I don't know, and now seeing more of her story in the second half, I agree with you. I think that bathroom scene got scarier, because we went back to it, and there was more to it, and I think the lead up with Bev entering this fictional house, having this, like, hallucination was horrifying.
Yeah. It's crazy because it literally, like, she's the only one where it's like, oh, I'm in like a made up place and like my hallucination is going on for an hour and like what's happening? I literally go, Bev is getting a cinematic style hallucination that is worthy of a Golden Globe award because I just don't know.
It was some Get Out vibes. It was like, would you like some tea? And then she stirs it and it's blood and you're like, no!
That is totally Get Out vibes, which is a scary movie. I made Bridget watch. Watch, everyone. Ooh, people don't forget.
That was a really good movie.
It was a good one. Okay, so Mrs. Kirsch is a old lady who, you know, again, like, you would just think as adults, we, you know, learned lessons about strangers. And I said it last time, I'm going to say it again, like, this is a lot of stranger danger, y'all. And I just don't think we're making great choices. So this old lady is like, oh, I'm so sorry, your dad's dead. Hey, want to come in here? I just met you. This is crazy. Get in this house. So I can give you trauma. And then Bev's like, wee, let's do it. And like, she does. And like, Bev, you're like a doll. Like,
I was really confused at the like, okay, we know your dad was abusive. So it doesn't shock me that you're not up to date on his situation. But I still would think you'd react if someone's like, your dad's been dead for 5 years. Instead, she was like, oh, well, what a lovely day. See you later. And you're like, wait, what?
She's like, I think I would like some tea. Woohoo!
I mean, yeah. I've got to say, I'm really doing some movie jumps here, but Jenny from Forrest Gump does the proper celebration when she learns that her abusive dad is dead.
That's true.
So
she does.
I was hoping Bev would have kind of had some more of a reaction, but I think to your point, she just jumps right into that scary bathroom and has bloody tea, and then the woman turns into a skeleton, and I don't know what was happening.
So when she turns into the skeleton thing, that's supposed to be her dad as a dead person. And that's why the voice was like a man voice, but that was like what it was supposed to be. And yeah, and then, you know, Bev runs out in the middle of the road and like, how big is this town? I mean, there's probably 8 to 10 people who live in this town, and the truck drivers feel the need to drive full speed ahead at a lady in the giant empty road. Y'all can't slow down? Y'all can't swerve? What's happening? Because Bev could have died via truck, so I don't like it.
Everything about that, I was like, Bev got the worst right there.
Yeah.
It, and then seeing the house all like,
oh, it's crazy,
boarded up. I was like, oh, that's so trippy.
Even that part where she's in the bathroom and she obviously is like really afraid, and then she plugs the drain right away and she turns the water on and she starts like washing her face and she closes her eyes for like 2 to 3 seconds. But when she looks down, the sink is like full with water. Like, even that's like freaky.
Super freaky.
Time dilation.
Oh, time dilation. Good word.
Interstellar. Right? Wow.
Multiverse. so then we jump to a little bit more of, I would say, like, less trauma, where Bill's wife back in England is just basically complaining about him and is like having the weirdest conversation with their boss. And she's like,
oh my God, it's okay, so weird.
I'm convinced out of nothing from the context of this conversation, I'm going to the United States. Did you understand anything they were talking about?
So, I mean, again, like, you know, I feel like in the book, it's better described because it's more of like internal thought, where it was like she was just getting this compulsion that like I have to go, and like she didn't like understand why fully. But in this scene, it's just her being like, he's gone. And then the guy that she was with, that's the guy Greco, who Bill was like, oh, I hate that guy. And I hate him too, because he literally is like, Audra, do you want to have sex?
Yeah.
And if you say no, I might still do it. And you're like, oh no, I hate it.
I did not know what was happening. She's like, you know how Bill is. And I'm like, wait, what? Are you complaining about him? Is this guy gonna like rape you? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, like, why couldn't this be a phone call? Why is he in your home? I don't like it. This is dangerous.
He had like slick back hair.
We know how that story goes. Y'all, Mighty Ducks too. People don't forget the slicked back hair.
The Iceland slick back ain't good.
Not good.
That's how evil corrupts you through the gel.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
So she's on her way and we're like, whatever. And then we get to the restaurant.
This is so fun. But also there are Bob's moments, or see, I don't even know what to say.
I got some real Beetlejuice vibes from this. Jump in the line, get your body on time. Okay.
With the shrimp, I can't. And the fucking napkins. Oh my God, I'm dead. I love it so much. Wow, that would have been really fun if they all like sang a song. That seems like something Pennywise would do, doesn't it?
Oh my God. Again, we need to write the Pennywise comedy / thriller. Oh my God, this live performance
and then
brilliant.
Beetlejuice makes a cameo and then they end up being like besties, but like sometimes they're frenemies, but mostly they're besties, you know?
Okay, we gotta hold that back for the next season. Okay. I think that'd be a little too exciting to do too early.
You're right. We gotta hold on the cameos. Right.
Okay, so Richie comes in hot and is like, beep, beep. And doesn't he just like go in for like a kiss to Bev, and everyone's just like making out with Bev, and I'm like, what's happening?
This is the Bob scene, I suppose.
Okay.
For me, at least. Well, Richie at first, like, I didn't write down who exactly is in there right away, but like, there's a couple people in there. I feel like it's like Ben and Eddie, and then like, oh my God, and then they see Mike and Bill, and you're like, wow. And then Richie shows up, and Richie sees everyone, and he gets like nervous, so he kind of like retreats to the bathroom, gives himself a little pep talk, and then he rolls up in, and then Bev, who was standing behind the wall waiting for her cue, immediately walks up and she's like, what a bunch of handsome old men. And everyone's like, they just stare at her quietly, and then homegirl like fucking faints. And I was like, Bev, that's dramatic. All right, you gotta relax. Okay, I cannot. But yeah, she makes out with, I mean, she doesn't like slip him the tongue, but like there is kissing lips with her and Richie.
They lock.
She does not kiss Eddie, which again, I'm like, Eddie got shafted. Eddie doesn't even get a kiss from Bev. Eddie got shafted.
Eddie did something to some director or writer, because everyone was like, we're going to make this guy look like the biggest D-bag ever.
She doesn't kiss him. I don't think she kisses Mike, or if she does, it's like on the cheek. She sees Ben and it's kind of like, but then she also doesn't kiss him, which is like a weird thing. But they have a very sentimental hug. And then she sees Bill. And let's just all remind everyone, this is the only character in this goddamn story who's actually married, took some vows. His wife cares a lot about him. She's traveling across the globe to find him. And Bill makes out with her hardcore in front of everyone.
Hardcore.
It's,
and you're like,
awkward.
Oh, can you imagine like a high school reunion?
Ew.
Where you're like, hey, best friend! And then they just, like, go in for a makeout, and everyone's like, too much. It was too much, Bev.
I hate it.
Also, Bill, too much. And then after they were done, he's like, how's it going? We're just gonna ignore that awkwardness. I'm like, and you're telling me Richie's, like, an SNL comedian, he's not gonna, like, make fun of you in this moment?
Do you wanna know what happens in the book with those two as adults?
Oh, God, what?
I don't know if that sounds gonna play.
The sex hand noises, whatever.
I'll try to. Can hear that.
So wait, in the book she has sex with Bill first, like right away? Like,
no, I'm saying when they are adults and they do this reunion, this is like the second half where they're like, oh, we're adults, we're all visiting. And then they literally have sex. So Bill again cheats on his wife, but like worse. Ugh. But then the ending is still the same for her where she ends up with Betty. You're like, questions. Lots of questions that I have. Nobody will ever answer them.
Okay, but I hated the line she said to Ben.
What was that?
Like, oh my god, Ben, I'm so proud of you. And he was like, huh?
For what?
Basically, she was like alluding, like, you're not fat anymore. Or like you're an architect or insert anything. So gross. And then later they're supposed to be like these lovers. And you're just like, I don't know, Ben, I don't know, Ben.
There could be better people, Ben. Like, she seems to make out with anyone who's in front of her. I don't know. Yeah. You want to do that?
This feels awkward. She already made out with Bill.
I feel like there's infidelity. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. And the whole memory thing, we're getting back to the notebook, but they all start remembering more of it, and it gets them scarier. And then we start off with Eddie just crying.
Oh, because again. Everybody hates Eddie. He is the black sheep of this friend group.
After this scene, I wrote, worst reunion ever.
Oh my god, I can't. So he has the flashback to, because he's like, I don't remember what you guys are talking about. And you're like, Eddie, why the fuck did you come here? Also, you had a scary spider hand grab you in the pharmacy. Did you forget? Yeah, Eddie, I'm confused.
Where are you at?
I don't know. But he has a flashback to the inhaler, and when he, you know, said this is battery acid, and it like melted Pennywise's face, and then that's when he cries. And I, just like you, Bridge, I said, Eddie, take some hits, because Jesus Christ, like, too much.
Hot.
Too much.
Even Bev's worth too, okay?
Yeah.
She's making out with everybody.
She's like, I'm not touching that one. That's too, like, crazy for me.
No, for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they proceed to be like, the Losers Club, and I wrote, inappropriate music plays as champagne is poured.
It's all right. Could you imagine if, like, that was Pennywise playing that song in the restaurant to be like, I'm gonna lead them into a false sense of security?
It's just like a DJ shot of him in the back, like,
and everyone's like, yeah, it's all right. And then he's like, fuck that, it ain't all right once you get fortune cookies.
Okay, oh, him and Beetlejuice, it's so perfect. Like, they would be perfect. Oh my god. Yes. Richie also is like trying to be funny, and he's like making comments like, I'd rather be dead than wed. Because they were like, are you with anyone, Richie? And he's like, rather be dead than wed. And I was like, what?
Too soon, Richie. Everyone around you is dying. Jesus.
Oy, oy, oy. Yes.
Also, he was like, I've been married like 4 or 5 times. And you're like, it's a lot of,
red,
you
know, flag.
Settlements.
Red flag.
Yeah, so something's happening here. And then they all are literally like, Bev, what about you? Are you married, Bev? And then Bill is like across the table, like, he's like giving her creepy eyes, and I hate it. I hate how they filmed that. And then she's like, oh no, I just have a boyfriend, but we're not married. And I was like, Bev, do you remember that he sucks and the abuse and the chest hair?
I knew you were gonna bring up the chest hair.
People don't forget.
People named Katie, don't forget.
People named me will buy him a razor for Christmas, and if he doesn't use it, he's out.
Katie shaves in the word it.
And then I make a scrunchy face while he, you know, is sitting there. So, okay. So they bring up in this kind of conversation, Henry Bowers, and they're like, oh, the drama. We all forgot about Henry Bowers. And this leads us as an audience to then learn what happened after the whole, like, sewer thing. because really, like, when the movie ends, or when part one ends, you don't know what ends up happening to him. You know that, like, he might be alive, and then his hair is white, and he's afraid, but that's kind of it. So what they say is, like, oh, the police, like, found him in the sewer, they pulled him out, his hair was all white, he was, like, babbling on and on, he was crazy, but he said that he killed all the kids, and so because of that, they were like, that's why, like, there was no police investigation of this, you know, mythological psychopath clown named Tim Curry, and they just assumed it was the little teenage boy, which, like, kind of checks out, because he was definitely a serial killer on the inside.
Yeah, he kind of tried to kill lots of people, so...
Yeah,
And they were mostly kids.
But then he was put in a institution, and so that's where they're like, oh, that's where he still is, you know, he's still there, whatever. And then Mike does a... This is what I fucking wrote. I was sober when I watched this movie. I go, Mike does the mic drop, being like, we did not stop Pennywise. And everyone's like, ah. And I wrote, duh, guys.
Yeah, you've like, already seen
why else are you guys here?
A bunch of times.
Yeah, like, he already told you, like, it's back. Like, I think he said that to everyone, so I'm confused why you're all confused. But, and then for whatever reason, then that's where we cut to adult Henry.
Okay, I have lots of questions about adult Henry, and I know we're finishing up the dinner scene, but I didn't understand how Pennywise can hand a real knife to Henry Bowers, and now all of a sudden he's like, you're blending the world of, like, make-believe hallucinations to actual physical things. Because I thought, well, why wouldn't he possess more people to, like, just kill them all?
I think because, like, I think it worked for Henry. Well, and again, like, in the book, so you know that part where he's, like, in the moon and he's talking to Henry?
Yeah.
And he's like, you're gonna kill them all, you're gonna help me. And he says, like, you helped me once, and you're kind of like, did he? Because I just thought he was, like, crazy on his own, but what?
Yeah.
But in the book, like, he was being driven to go crazy by Pennywise, because Pennywise was, like, when he was a little kid, talking to him through the moon to get him to, like, kill the children.
Ew.
And so, you know, you don't get that, like, exposition here.
Okay, okay.
So, I feel like he picked Henry because of, like, that whole thing. But, yeah, I don't know. And I don't really know about the knife. I just, magic?
Yeah, Belch just rolls up, and he's like, Belch! And he's like, here's a knife, have fun! And I was like, whoa, this ain't good.
Also, Belch does not belch at all in this movie, thank God.
Oh my God. And he's not, his body is not folded, it is unfolded, and it is under a bed.
It's not doing yoga. Yeah.
No. It's not. It is. But we quickly go back to the restaurant scene, where somehow, and I gotta tell you, I would have killed him, Mike, who is the poorest one of the bunch, picks up the bill.
I know.
And I'm like, Mike, you know, I don't think you're appreciated. I'm just gonna say that. He's like, remember the promise? Richie's like, I'm out of here. He's like, come on, guys, we gotta stand up for him. And he's like the big hero, and he's like, and I got the bill, and I'm awesome. And everyone's like, oh God, Mike, fine.
I'm
appreciate Mike. Where's Mike's appreciation?
His character definitely gets more redemption as he's an adult, because when he was a kid, I don't even think he had more than like 8 lines. Like, he was just like the afterthought of all the children, and now he's like, I'm all over everyone, I know the shit, I know what's happening.
He is on it. And then those fortune cookies, bananas,
I hate it. It's so scary.
It was super scary.
What was the scariest
cockroaches
fortune?
Blood.
What?
Baby chicken.
Okay.
Everything.
Okay.
I think the baby chicken was the scariest.
That was the... Yeah, I agree. I didn't like that one. I didn't like it at all.
Oh.
I think the least scariest was, like, the one that looked like a little crab claw. I was like, that's kind of cute. Like, you know, I feel like that's like a kid's toy, but I'm not really sure. I guess it's scary. I don't know. Yeah.
And the restaurant owner's like, what?
Yeah.
What's... This is the best part. It's everyone the loves the fortunes.
You guys gotta learn your lucky numbers.
It's not real. How do you say red in Chinese? Come on. Literally, I just thought that is so awkward. And then once again, they blame it on Eddie for having an asthma attack, because Eddie's just the... Eddie's the problem.
Yeah, they just like
everything.
They're like, it's That loser. He had an asthma attack. Jesus. Anyway, we're off to leave. Bye-bye. And then they run out of the restaurant, which, like, I probably would do as well. Because
I would definitely. Very scary. I don't know if I'd even be in that town.
Nope.
But, yeah. And they start to say, like, some... So they go back to, like, this hotel that they're staying at,
well,
right?
Here they go to the library.
Okay.
Because Mike's
the
like, I am the librarian. And then they literally get to the library and they're all like, where's Stan? We forgot all about Stan. Because someone started playing the It's All Right song, and then we got really confused and lost, and we forgot that this is a scary movie. So that's when Mike then goes on his Facebook stalking spree of tracking down Stan over landlines, and he finds out that Stan is dead. And it kills the mood.
Well, and Mike's like, oh, well, I did actually get some insight a while back on these empty... like graves, except for one, and well, he happened to not be the one here, and now I'm connecting the dots. So, okay, so sorry, lover.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Bill. And then Bill, like, immediately has a flashback to a scene we did not see in part one, but it was a scene of Bill and Stan as kids. And again, Bill's just giving bike rides to the children on the back, pushed up against them. And Stan gets on the back of his bike and is, like, afraid of something. Like, he was running away from something, but we don't know what it was yet. And then Bill is like, yeah, he was afraid of something. And I was kind of like, yeah, I mean, we all... Okay, so, like, we all were, but, like, fine. And then he gets into the story, and you're like, why didn't you start at the beginning, you dipshit? And he tells us that, like, Stan was bird watching. This was when he was, like, a kid. He was bird watching, like a good Boy Scout. And I'm like, I don't even think if I went up to a kid in Boy Scouts, and I was like, yo, what kind of bird is that? Like, they're not gonna know. So, I don't know why that's the criteria for being a Boy Scout, but...
No idea. That's what I thought old people did.
Yeah,
not...
Yeah.
Young children.
I don't know. Yeah.
He gets, like, called to this weird mansion house.
And again, stranger danger, guys! Like, you don't need to follow creepy voices that know your name. In fact, don't ever. No.
And then it was, like, what was it? It was, like, a mummy.
It was clown. A mummy. It okay, was a okay. mummy with clown pom-poms, as you do.
And then somehow we mentioned the deadlights and get an insight into the deadlights. And I don't even know.
Everyone is like, we're already drunk, but let's keep drinking immediately because we can't be sober for this shit. But then they go to open the fridge and it's your dead friend head. That's the worst. It's the worst. It's not good.
You guys didn't invite me. Okay. Basically, Stan, he kind of tries to go on his own comedy monologue.
He does.
You don't know what's happening. Everyone's just like,
See, that could be part of Pennywise's bit is like, during his Netflix special, he's like, okay, guys, and here is the part where I open the mini fridge, and then I'll do a ventriloquist act with the severed head. Here we go. And you're like,
he calls up an audience member, and then they end up in the fridge.
Oh, God.
Why am I saying these things? Oh, my God. Yeah. So I thought that was like a little jarring, but they're playing with some comedy.
Right.
And he gets really evil, and then he makes like a really evil face, and I was kind of creeped out by it.
Yeah. And it's like jiggly, and like, I don't like it.
I hated it.
This leads to an Addams Family style inside the home / library thunderstorm. Yes. And then everything goes crazy. And then there's Stephen King, we got a little typewriter Shining reference where there's a typewriter and it starts typing things. And then somehow this leads to Bill's like, we all gotta hold hands. And then they hold hands and I guess that stops it. So that was kind of easy. I don't know why we're not holding hands all the time, guys, because that seemed like a quick solution, but fine. And there's a weird little part where they reference Bill's stuttering. But like, in my opinion, I don't think this is like important.
How is it relevant? I don't think it is. Oh my God, the typewriter reads what my mom had me say to help my stutter. And then once again, because all they do is make fun of his stutter, they're like, well, it didn't really help, did it? So.
Which, like, honestly, I do laugh at. I know I shouldn't, but like,
oh,
what?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So then they lose it, right? And then we go back to Henry Bowers, right? We go back to the institution.
Yes.
And kind of start to see him take action. He's got a knife, a real knife, and he like rolls up to the guard and, this ain't some Whoopi Girl Interrupted. This is not good.
No, this guard's ready to like punch him in the face, but don't worry because we're saved or murdered, I don't know to classify this as, by a clown? What is a clown?
With a dog face?
It's a Rottweiler! It's a little bear! How cute would Bear be in a little clown suit?
He would be really cute if he wasn't trying to, like, murder people.
Well, he's not gonna murder you unless you're a squirrel, okay? So, like,
true, that's the same easy. With Penny.
Yeah.
She actually has, which is horrifying. I thought the choice was weird here. I thought that it could have just been Pennywise killing him. I didn't know why we needed a dog.
I think because it was like that was the guard's fear was like dogs probably.
Oh.
So he took the form of what he was afraid of.
Okay.
But then we just assume that guard is dead and now Henry's out and I don't know where this institution is, but apparently Henry's able to like find all these people. Everybody's got GPS on them. I don't know. We don't know.
He literally just gets right to where they're staying. And once again, Mike is educating everybody on history lessons of kids dying and the 30 years. We get the real story in the 30 years.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. And again, Mike is like doing all the work all alone.
Yep. And then there are like all the adults here don't want to believe. So they don't believe. You're like, what? And then Bev is like, I remember one time that Henry Bowers was sexually harassing me on the street corner and an old man walked away. And in my head, I was like, okay, well, fucking Ben before in the woods basically did the same thing to the little boy getting thrown down a cliff. So I don't think we can blame the town. I think these people just suck.
So I was thinking, does the book go into that the town has
that is
disease?
A thing. Yes.
Now that's kind of cool.
Well, because, and also it makes sense because when they talk about how like, oh, we don't remember, and Eddie is like, I felt like there was like a cloud over my memory type deal. Because like when you leave the town, you forget. So that's like part of it. But then it's also like, if you don't believe, then you don't see things because Pennywise, like you need to be afraid of stuff and then it, whatever. And it's easier to scare children, I guess. I'm not really sure.
But I thought that was like interesting symbolism into cultures that just like accept terrible things.
Yeah.
Right? Like for, well, that's someone else's problem. That isn't my problem. And I thought that in itself is scary. It's like, you can't even go to an adult to help you.
Right.
Yeah. And they were like, Bev, did you get like raped, Bev?
Yeah. Bev, do you need a makeout to feel better? Let me know.
And she was like, no, don't worry. My abusive dad came home and saved me.
You're great.
Oh, Bev.
Radical. Everything sucks. I know. It's horrible. Oh my God. And then this leads to a conversation of Mike then being like, don't you see, guys? Y'all became so successful when you left the town, but no one has children. And I guess that's also connected somehow. By the way, I also don't have children, but somehow that's not connected. Also, I'm poor and old looking. Did you know that?
His quote was like, our secret is we're losers. And you're like, I'm so confused. Like, what's happening?
It was weird. Like, there is more of that in the book where it's kind of like, there's something about this group of people and it's like a something. And then even at the end, they're like, the curse was broken. You're like, I didn't know there was a witch curse, but it's fine. It's fucking fine. I'm glad it's over, I suppose.
Well, as the dialogue gets worse, thank God we switch over to Bill's wife.
Oh my God.
Who has a super creepy interaction with some random guy.
Again, stranger danger, y'all.
Stranger danger.
Don't roll down your windows, people you don't know, and late at night when you're alone.
Am I close to Derry? I just, you know, hopped off a 7-hour flight and just happened to pop in a car, and I don't know, it's only been like 10 minutes, but am I close? And then basically the person turns crazy and does the dead light eyes and like, what, hypnotizes her? And
yes.
I don't...
Pennywise do this
all the time? I don't understand.
I don't know. Kids are, it's easier for children. I don't know, Bridge. I can't explain it all.
But we know it's not good. We're like, this is not good for her. And then we cut away and we're like, what happened? No one knows. But yeah, and then Ben goes into a super boring story about his weight. And we're like, Katie's like, I've told this story last episode about people who I go on dates with. We don't want to hear about it. No. We don't care about your weight.
I didn't ask for it. Meanwhile, he's also giving Bev like a back massage. And I'm like, okay, again, guys, like we're three steps away from an orgy. We got to relax because this is not that type of movie. Everybody chill. And then Mike is basically like, hey guys, so don't forget there's like an evil murdering clown. Just want to remind you all, this is really fun. Like telling weird stories, but you know, time's running out.
I wrote Mike was like, can we prepare, please? Can we focus?
Yes.
Oh my god. Yeah, and Rishi's like, again, I want to get out of here. Why aren't we leaving? Oh god. And then we go back to one of Bev's horror stories with the bathroom. Oh my god. And how every time she cleaned up the blood, it would come back. But then
when
the boys helped, then it didn't come back. And oh god, they were all trying to like lift each other up. Because I'm not gonna lie, I don't know. First of all, I don't even know if I'd ever pick up a phone call like we talked about, let alone get on a plane. Yeah. Let alone once I was there and saw Pennywise stay.
Yeah.
So I kind of believed this. Like, are we sure we want to do this? This does not seem like a good idea. We were kids.
Right.
We were forced to live here, but we got a choice. What are we doing?
Right. Yeah, I do like how they do that. And they kind of, again, like, you know, they have certain stuff happen, which kind of like starts to put a crack in people's like confidence and like, oh, I don't know anymore. Like at first I was in it and then I was like, oh, I don't know. And one of the things that happens is somebody is like, oh, this is freaking nonsense. Bev is like, I'm cold. And Ben's like, don't worry, I'll go get you something. And she's like, great, I have a shawl upstairs. As if Bev, you know, lost her legs and she can't fucking walk herself. I don't understand. Fine, it's fine. And then Bill's like, guys, don't go alone. We can't split up. So then they're like, okay, only three of us will split up from the other three. What?
That's very clue-esque.
Yeah, very, you know? Yeah. But this is where they're all in different rooms and Henry Bowers decides to attack Mike, which is horrible and scary, and it's very quiet, which is like really spoopy.
So scary.
Somehow Eddie doesn't hear it because Eddie's like puffing inhaler and brushing his teeth or something dumb. I don't fucking know. He gets a lame arc. Meanwhile, Ben is making out with Pennywise and we hate it.
Oh my god.
Too much.
Pennywise, who he thought was Bev.
And, yeah.
Which I thought was a really like cool line. Recites the poem from the first half and he was like, oh my god, you knew it was me. She's like, I always knew it was you. And later in the second half she says that and he like freaks out because he thinks she's Pennywise. But I gotta tell you, like, turning into Pennywise, that also, Stephen King, that's a Shining moment. Remember when Jack makes out with the weird skeleton? Like a
Shining moment. Yeah, he makes out with the lady. He was like dead.
Yeah. So.
Do you think Pennywise, like, do you think you would notice if you're making out with someone and then it was like someone else? What?
Well, you know, Kate, how many drinks have I had?
just trying to like conceptualize this scenario that's never going to happen. But
and I didn't like back in these movies when they would make out, it was very much just like smushing your face back and forth.
It was,
and so I feel like it would be harder back then.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't think I'd know. But if that was Pennywise, I'd be out of the town on my flight, and that was Richie.
Well, we're going, buddy. It only takes, you know, a couple stabs in the gut for Eddie and Ben to be like, hey, where's Mike? And you're like, well, you dipshits, y'all split up. Like you said, you weren't gonna, and then you literally did that in 1 second, so that was cool.
Mike just wanted to prepare.
He brought the helmets and flashlights. And then Henry somehow gets stabbed, and then he dies. And then he's a dead body that they leave in the room for the rest of the movie.
And they peace out of the hotel. They're like, bye, 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 bye. Can you imagine that maid? I'm like, they know it's you. You were the last people to stay. What's happening?
Well, there's a part where Bill is like, if anyone asks, like, party got out of hand and somebody fell. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, Bill. Like, there was a stab wound. What the fuck are you talking about? You're going to be on 2020 in a little bit. Jesus Christ. Not cool. Oh my God.
Oh my God. But then they end up in like a motel. I was so like, I didn't know where we were.
Well, no, they go to the hospital because then Mike's like, I've been stabbed. And, you know, they don't take an ambulance. They all just hop into the Corvette. And, oh, you know, God. I feel
what
like that's
that about?
That's a little more dangerous, guys. Like, there's no top. So, like, what are we doing?
Yes. Doesn't sound right. But Mike is going to be okay. He doesn't die. Thank God. But he also gets screwed out of his arc because he was like leading the show and now he's gonna just chill in the hospital, which by the way I would be terrified because I'd be like, if Pennywise is ever gonna get me, it's stuck in a hospital when I'm like stabbed and bleeding and I can't leave. But I can't believe they didn't put a scene in there of like
I did think about that, but I think it's because right after the rest of the people are basically like, hey, we gotta go beat up this clown, although actually they don't do that right away because they're all like, so everything's wrong and we're gonna deuces. And then Bev and Ben had a real makeout scene, which was like weird. Fine. Eddie cock blocks because that's all he's good for, and that's cool.
Eddie.
And that's when they do go back to the inn, I guess, to, you know, cover up dead Henry Bowers with a blankie. That'll fix it. And then they all leave, and that's where Bill hears like that piano song being played you hear in the beginning of his like childhood flashback thing. But I like how they do that because the line that he says is, I think, really good because he basically walks out last and the four other people is like, all right, so like, bye, we're leaving, come on bud, get in here. And then Bill's like, I just saw something and I don't know if it was real. And he was like, and if I leave right now, like, I'm gonna have to live with the fact that I may not know what's real or not, and that I'm just like letting this happen. And he's like, and I can't do that, like, I have to go, you know, attack the clown.
I wrote down, he said, for years I've been getting paid to scare people, but it's been me who's been scared the whole time.
That must have been straight out of like Stephen King's like therapy session or something.
Oh my God. And he's like, and I don't want to be scared anymore. And you're like, Stephen! So stop hanging out in the middle of Nevada in a white van.
It's true, Stephen.
And doing drugs.
You can have more than one beer. My God.
But this dynamic helped because Bill was always the leader and like everyone's like, yeah, man, he lost his brother and like, we gotta help him. And I'm with you. I really liked how he kind of roped them back in. Like, come on, Mike stabbed. I mean, right. God, like, come on, people, let's do this. And you're like, yeah, Bill, let's do this. And can we cut your ponytail in the meantime? Cause it's like really creepy.
And it's gonna get stuck in the spider webs in the sewer, Bill. It's not gonna look pretty. I'll tell you that. Before this too, there is a quick part where Mike in the hospital, you know, he just keeps these in his jacket pocket at all times, these little silver earrings that he then is like, yeah, don't worry, there was a point in my life where I kind of wanted to die, so I just like went down there by myself, didn't really bring a flashlight, and somehow I found these, and then somehow I was alive, and then somehow and everything's great. Anyway, carry them around all the time.
Okay, the lover's story, like, are you kidding me? He's like, Bill, these pieces of silver, I went down and I'm gonna be vulnerable and tell you about how I wanted to kill myself.
Oh my God.
And I got these and I need you to avenge my death. And Bill's like, it's all right.
Hey, it's all right. Well, thank God we got those stupid silver earrings, because don't worry, Bev then whips out a slingshot. She goes, I brought this. It's the only thing I saved from those days. And you're like, Bev, again, like, I just feel like when you were hastily packing, I feel like you didn't remember that. But, like, it's fine. It's fucking fine.
Also, like, I'm sorry, Bev, but you've been getting, like, beat up by your boyfriend and you had a slingshot that you're secretly, like, the best slingshot game in town and you didn't get after him.
Yeah.
Okay, this movie kind of goes downhill after this because the Bill scene and like them kind of getting back together is like exciting, but oh my God, Kate, I mean, it was rough once they got down there, don't you think?
Well, because right away Bill's like, guys, we gotta stick together, and you're like, got it, Bill, you told us 8 times. And then Bill fucking finds a purse and he's like, oh my God, this is my wife's purse, let me run by myself. And then he slips on the ground and then cries in a corner, and it's really uncomfortable.
I'm just gonna tell you right now, there is no way that my husband remembers my purse. Okay,
I thought about that.
Like, I love him with all my heart. I could use the same purse the rest of my life. There is no way he'd be like, wow, look at that, is that a lady's purse, what's down there? Like, Bill, how did you know? Bill, how did you know?
I know, it's weird, we don't know, we never get it explained, but it's fine.
But it was scary because I was like, no, stop the breaking up of all. Oh, I was Richie down there. Richie was like,
yeah, they're basically like, your shit together, Bill. Eddie already cried. Now you're fucking crying. We ain't got time for the crying. Figure it out. And they get to that room where they had faced Pennywise the last time. And now there's like these creepy vines. And there's a line in here where I think it's Eddie or someone is like, oh man, I hope these vines don't like come alive. And so then you're like, ooh, can't wait to see that. But you know, then it's like a made for TV miniseries movies and we don't have the budget. So don't worry. Nothing happens with those at all. So yeah.
And then a paper boat comes down the sewer. Yeah. They're like, we could pay for this. Yeah. Somebody folded this.
We had little Johnny make that over there. So perfect. We could afford it. Yeah. There's another little Georgie scene and, you know, Bill's like, Georgie, you're dead.
And then it just gets so bad because there's like candles lit everywhere.
Well,
is this like the sewer spa? Like they made a left and like somehow it's like a cool hipster joint and dairy.
Honestly.
Because like who's lighting all those candles?
That wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. They're kind of like, Pennywise, show yourself. And then he's like, no, go away. And then they're like, oh. So then Bill's like, let's use this paper boat to show us the way. Cause that for some reason works. And it does. And this, I wrote, oh Jesus, we got candles, skulls, and hobbit holes. Because that's what it is. It's too much.
Well, and then Eddie.
Oh, God, Bridget, no. It's the worst. It's so bad.
Eddie just, like, loses it.
Oh, my God.
And I think the logic was... I feel like I'm gonna die, so I wanna like share some truths, I guess.
Too much truth, Eddie. Didn't ask.
Didn't ask.
No.
And just screams out he's a virgin, but he's never been with anyone. And Richie, I'm sorry, is all of us. And
it's like, amazing.
He was like, didn't need to know that, buddy.
He's like, what are you saying? You're a virgin? Can't help you with that. But like, cool. And I was like, correct. What's happening? And then I wrote, Bev is not gonna have sex with you right now. Please relax, sir.
Oh my God. It's just Eddie. This is so... And I don't even think like the best actor in the world could have fixed that line. Like,
no.
It was just like, no, we don't need to know. You're a virgin at this moment without prompting anything. I so bizarre. And then
yep.
It just keeps getting worse, Kate. It just keeps getting worse. We see spider webs.
We got spider webs. We got spider webs with people in the spider webs. And we got Audra's catatonic face looking at the spider web. And she's really good at being catatonic, which,
Wow. Yeah. But like, we're in the sewer and I'm afraid of Pennywise. That's my head. My head is like, I'm so afraid of Pennywise. Okay, we entered into some weird spa. Okay, we're in a hobbit door. Okay, Eddie's a virgin. I'm still afraid of Pennywise. I see spider webs and I'm like, again, I'm really afraid of Pennywise. And then we never fucking see Pennywise again.
He gone. Bye-bye.
Worst decision ever.
Like
a spider, a terrible graphic spider that wasn't even that scary.
And it was cross-eyed, because don't think I didn't notice, all right?
Like, oh, it just ruined everything, and I kept thinking, so that's what's behind Pennywise, is like a spider, and what? I just, so lame.
It is.
So lame. And I know everyone, it's not just us, like, everyone complains about this.
Yeah.
And I don't know the logic, I didn't, like, go down the rabbit hole on it, I was just, I wasn't even scared anymore, I was like, this is just terrible. And they just try to fight it, right? They try to fight the spider.
They try to fight it. And again, Bill is dumb and he immediately gets caught in the deadlight. So then he's useless. And then Ben is like, oh no, Bill, let me help you. And then Bill's useless because he gets stuck in them. And then Richie's like, uh-oh, I'll try. And then Richie's useless. And then Bev, meanwhile, like, she freaking misses with the silver. I don't know, Bev. Maybe we should have brought something, not a slingshot. You probably would have done better if you just threw it with your hand. But fucking fine. So she misses with both and then she runs off to the side to go get them. So now Eddie's alone and Eddie's like blocking his face and then Eddie's like, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna use my placebo! Because that worked once before. And he makes a really awkward, pathetic speech. Do you remember?
Yes.
Okay.
He like Cindy Lou Who, just yells out, I believe in Santa! I believe in the Easter Bunny. And you're like, what?
I know. I was like, Eddie, no, don't believe in those things. What the fuck is going on?
His mother did a number on him. Am I right?
I don't even know what's happening. But Eddie then immediately gets squished or like, I don't know. He gets grabbed.
The spider was like, what's this motherfucker talking about?
The spider was like, this guy, am I right? I'm going to shut him the fuck up because I don't want to hear any more of that weird dialogue.
He's like, guys, this is for you. I'm going to take Eddie out.
Yeah, seriously. And then this is Bev finally, she gets the one piece of silver and she shoots it into the stomach, which is the deadlights. And then we have bad CGI explosion lightning. And then the spider's like, oh, I'm dying. But also Eddie's dead. So like, go look at him.
But Eddie died a virgin.
He did.
You're a virgin who can't drive.
Sorry. You're a virgin who can't drive, Eddie. You probably can't drive. Who knows? I don't. My God.
Okay, so the light goes off in his like weird 12 pack of abs as a spider. And what happened next? Because like we're in Indiana Jones.
Okay.
And, like, what's happening?
All right. So again, this was like a book thing that they didn't mention at all in this, but there was this whole ritual, which like this goes back to the children doing smoke inhalation drug trips when they were little. They learned that like Pennywise is really some mystical being that like lives for years and years and it's like whatever. But one of the things that can defeat it is if you do this ritual called the ritual of, I thought it was always pronounced chud because it's C-H-U-D, but I've heard people pronounce differently. But It's essentially you just like rip the thing's heart out. And like, I don't know, I feel like that doesn't need to be a ritual and that's just like how you kill stuff. So somehow that was a ritual, but that's what they were doing and they don't talk about it at all. But that's why you see them rip the heart out and then they're
but
like...
But it wasn't Mortal Kombat style.
No, it was like...
It was like Operation Gone Wrong. Let's rip it. And they all kept slipping and I was like, what's happening?
They just like tear it up and it's gross. And like, don't touch that and wash your hands when you get out. Thank you. But all the spider webs start coming down, including stupid Audra was this dumb face for the rest of the movie. And it's the worst.
My God. And I kept thinking, okay, the movie's over, but it's not over because Now Bill has the worst life ever trying to get his wife out of what? This like comatose state?
I mean, what? Yeah, and this is the main reason we had the sexual tension bike scene earlier. So that you can be like, oh yeah, Bill has his bike. I guess that's plot important, whatever. And then you see him riding it with Audra, and then that's how Audra wakes up and Bill causes traffic accidents, but Audra's awake. Thank God.
He pretty much tries to like kill them.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, where am I? And he's like, keep going, you're on a bike. He's like, burr, burr, burr. I'm like, what? I ended my notes with, this is the most bizarre ending ever. It lost the ending. Oh my God. Why couldn't we see Pennywise just die? Like,
Well, we don't see him again, but we get to hear Pennywise laugh once more, which I was like, thank God you did that, because made it a little
better.
Well,
and I did read that Tim Curry had some beef with this movie.
Oh.
For a bit. And I think up until in the first half, I was like, why? He's amazing. What's his beef? And then you watch the second half, and you're like, yeah, I see his point. It's like,
yeah.
Now the new movie, they have to do the ending better, right? I've never seen it, so I don't know.
They definitely like include Pennywise more with the end, but he's still kind of like a spider.
Oh.
And actually the way he gets defeated is like lamer in the new one.
No.
Because they
really?
Just kind of like smack talk him and then he's like, wah, you defeated me. And you're like, what the fuck?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, 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 Kate. Did we do it? Did we do the
I think
longest
we did it,
movie
and
of all time?
Listen, I know the ending is whack, but I love this movie so much.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's
so fun.
But it's so long that you get like two movies. So it's,
yeah.
You can say the second one was a worse rating, but it's still really good.
Yep.
I'll give it to you, Kate. You're really turning me on some of these like movies, you know?
Ooh.
I never knew I had the guts.
Well, don't worry, because I have a really exciting surprise for you.
What?
I just emailed you.
Oh my, we haven't done this in a while, Kate.
I know.
Wowie wowie, is this a dad quote?
Maybe. It is. Just kidding, it is.
Oh, okay. Whee! Okay. All right, I'm going to play it in 3, 2, 1.
All right, so I have dad here, and you like the movie that we did this week. We're actually, it's a mini series. We have started doing the mini series It.
It.
So we did part one, and then we're going to do part two.
Oh, so part one of the new It?
No, it's the old one. The original.
Original?
Yes.
Wow. Well, I think that's one of the best.
Agreed.
I think that's one of the best I've ever seen. Pennywise.
Ooh. Yep.
You're never going to like clowns again.
Yeah, he's right.
And yeah, that's about it.
Do you remember seeing the remake in theaters with me?
Yes, I do. They had a couple of screw-ups in that one.
Oh, yeah? That you didn't like?
Well, it was the, in the new one, it was, you know, middle school kids, but they're driving.
Oh. You didn't, Henry Gowers, that's what you mean? Because
yeah.
He drove?
Yeah.
I do remember that critique of yours. That's yeah. True. That's true.
Stop.
All right, thank you.
It's like, he's so random. Like he's just mad about one random tidbit.
I very distinctly remember him being like, hey, they're in the middle school. And that's true. He is right, because the kids, the main characters, are like middle school children in the remake. And then Henry Bowers is literally like a high schooler. And you're like, Henry, what? Like, there's other people to bully. What the fuck? And like, Henry is like driving in a car. And like, the other kids are like 12, like 13. You're like, oh no. And dad was like really hung up on that. So I stopped recording, but there was another part he referenced where in the new one, like, Henry Bowers literally gets like thrown down like a well, or like he gets thrown down in the sewer, and like, you know, you would like be a dead person, but then dad's like, but he's like alive, what's up with that? And you're like, I don't know, dad. Like,
you're like, dad,
just don't know.
Oh my god, that was so good. I love when he makes comments, and yeah, I cannot stop laughing about how he went to the wrong seat and just
he did.
I just love it. Oh my god. Well, Kate, we finished out Spoopy October.
We did.
And we technically did only 3 movies, but it yeah. In itself is like 18 movies in one.
Oh, yeah.
But it is my turn to pick for you.
Yay!
And I like when you pretend you're surprised, but this is a fan pick.
Yes.
So this is a fan pick from Melissa. Melissa, not only, as Katie says, went on our website, follow down the homepage,
scroll down
in the bottom,
fill out the form, press submit. Yeah.
went through literally Indiana Jones style adventure to get to requesting a movie for us, and did it, achieved it. But she also gave us some Ko-fi cash. So Melissa,
we love
you.
I
mean, there is like no rules, but to me, when you put some cash money, you go to the top of the line, baby.
You do. So, and I just want to also shout out Melissa, because I believe Melissa has a small business called Melissa's Makes, I believe. And when I was perusing the Instagram, there is a pair of underwear with Golden Girls on it. So that I will be buying. Be on the lookout, Melissa. So listeners, check that out and support the small business owners. Thank you.
Oh my God, Melissa, you know our email, because we say it on every episode, but you can email us more stuff and we'll promote you.
Absolutely.
Because maybe you got more underwear than just Golden Girls.
I'm sure you do, but that one stuck up to me. So
Melissa also made a comment that one of her favorite movies we did was The Never Ending Story.
Never Ending Story. Okay.
So, and I hope you get on a plane to Germany with us to see it in person.
Yeah.
But the suggestion, I think, still kind of, it's not Spoopy October, but I still think it like falls within kind of like whimsical.
Mm-hmm.
And Kate, I don't remember if I've seen this movie.
Oh, well, this will be an experience, I'll say that.
And I'm going to read what the internet says is this type of movie. Okay, a musical fantasy film.
Yes.
But it is directed by someone we love.
We love him.
Jim Henson.
Oh, we love him.
with George Lucas as an executive producer. And it's based upon conceptual designs by Brian Froud, which I think is who was used in The Dark Crystal.
Oh, I think so too. That definitely sounds familiar.
He was the one that like created all of the like the whimsical, yep, Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
So this is the 1986 film with someone I would never think would be in one of these films.
Oh yeah.
Starring David Bowie.
Yeah.
Labyrinth.
Woo! And Jennifer Connelly's in this too.
Melissa, what? We cannot wait to do this.
Melissa, you love your dark children's 80s movies, and I support that.
I'm really feeling her 80s. Never Ending Story.
Yes.
Labyrinth. I'll be honest, when I watch this, I will have to tell you when we actually record whether I actually saw this or not, or I've just heard of people talk about it, because this might be a total new one for me.
I don't think when I was a kid I ever saw it, but then when I got a little older, I watched it. It's very, like, I guess whimsical is like a really good word for it.
I've just heard about it. I've just heard about how like crazy it is, and I have no memories of watching it. So, my God, I can't wait.
Yes. And Bridge?
Yeah?
I just want to say, if we were eating Chinese food and our fortune cookies became demonic and scary things happened, I would not blame it on our friend's asthma. I would be like, yo, there's like crazy clown shit. And then I'd book our flight to like Bermuda or something, somewhere fun.
Thank you.
To make up for it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Kate?
Bridge?
If our friend Mike from 30 years ago that remembered all of our trauma from an evil demonic clown tried to call you up, I would get him blocked.
Yeah.
I
think I would too.
That number would not go through for you.
No.
Because I love you.
Oh, thanks, Bridge. Oh, and well, listeners, if you also hate scary fortune cookies and people who call your phone all the time when they could just text you because it's easier to ignore texts, you know, we all know that, and, you know, other scary clown shit, you should write us a review.
Hey!
We love reviews. We love written reviews. You can review us on Apple Podcasts along with some other podcasting apps. We also have a website, sisterswhoseenit.com. So if you would like to be like our next fan pick movie, Labyrinth, from Melissa, you can do that this way. You can go on our website, scroll down on the main page, fill out the form, click submit. It's really not a lot of steps, okay? It's not as hard as defeating an evil clown demon, I'll tell ya. And
no.
Bridge, what else can they do on our website?
Well, like Melissa, they can buy us coffee.
Yes.
And Melissa put up some big bucks. And Melissa, we're going to have plenty of coffee to do the Labyrinth.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Melissa. That's awesome.
And also, thank God it's not long, as long as it. So we can really do it.
It's true.
But yes, if you like what we're doing and you're like, you know what? I've written my review. I've listened to every episode. I've liked on all their social media. I want to give them more. You can go to the Ko-Fi site and give us some paper, and that would be money. I don't know why I think I'm cool by saying paper.
Okay.
But Kate, I think that's it.
So yeah, we hope to hear from you, listeners. Well, we'll see y'all next week for Labyrinth with David
Bye-bye.
Bowie.
Do a cool accent. Do a cool
bye-bye, Bridget.
Bye-bye.
I love you.
Don't go into sewers. Run away.
Don't eat fortune cookies. Bye-bye.
Don't pick up phone calls from people 30 years from now. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Sisters Who Seen It. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Check out our website at sisterswhoseenit.com, where you can email us, request movies to be reviewed, and keep up to date with all things sisters. Also, make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. See you next week!